You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. So let's stay with that summer thing and listen to these kids telling their class what they did with their vacations.
And then the raccoons ate our food and we all got poison ivy. And that was my vacation.
We drive and drive and drive some more. And that was my vacation.
After I went to a haunted mansion, I traveled into the future and hung out with famous movie stars. And then I was attacked by aliens. I caught in a tidal wave and went all the way to China.
Okay, he didn't really go to China. That's a Disney commercial from 1996. Companies like Disney have long marketed theme parks as a vacation for families. But Disney's attendance actually dropped last year for the first time in more than a decade and after a price hike. Yeah, they're still making money. U.S. theme parks generated about $20 billion in revenue last year, but not necessarily from the middle-class consumers of 20 years ago. So if you want to hit one without losing your mind or your savings, you should listen to Robert Niles. He's the editor of ThemeParkInsider.com. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, what is going on this year? Why did Disney's attendance fall?
Well, Disney had a really good year the year before, and this past year just wasn't as good as the previous year. Disneyland was coming off its big 60th anniversary celebration, where they had a bunch of new shows and a big ad campaign for that. And this year, really all Disneyland had to offer was a big construction zone as they get ready for Star Wars Land up in 2019. And Orlando just had a horrible year last year, if you remember the Pulse shooting.
The Pulse shooting, of course.
They had a hurricane there. That tragic accident that involved a youngster from Nebraska losing his life in an alligator attack. It's just, I don't think you could script something more bizarre than what happened in Orlando last year. And Disney World just didn't have anything to overcome that the way that, say, their rivals at Universal did last year. So that's why we saw a dip in attendance for Disney in 2016.
So you think it would be going too far to say this is just about the fact that the Disney parks raised prices?
Well, they certainly didn't help themselves with that. I mean, one of the classic strategies if you are facing a soft year is to cut your prices. But Disney didn't do that last year. So, I mean, we'll see if they have any discounts or anything that they try and do on a short-term basis going forward. But in fact, Disney's just bringing out a bunch of new attractions over the next few years. So I think they're relying on that to help boost attendance rather than getting into a discounting strategy.
You know, when I think about a family vacation at a theme park, it has been for years marketed as a middle class summer experience that you can take your kids. But these are really expensive now, not just Disney, but across the board.
Yeah, if you're looking at a full 1 week vacation down in Orlando to visit the Walt Disney World Resort, I think the average family of four is probably spending somewhere between about $3,500 to $7,000. And that's before you look at transportation costs to get down to Orlando. Now, obviously, if grandma and grandpa live down there and you don't need to get a hotel, you can shave some money off of that. But if you're looking at airplane flights along with that and you want to hop between various parks on the same day, you could easily look at $10,000 for a week vacation in Orlando.
Well, so let's talk about that. Let's say you're thinking, wow, that really does sound like a lot of money, but I want to take my kids to a theme park. I want to have this kind of experience. How do you go about both finding the place and then figuring out the money part of it?
Well, the good news is there's lots of opportunities for advanced planning on the internet. You know, I run a site that does a lot of brings a lot of people together, the Rate and Review Park. So there's a wide variety of experiences out there. It's not just the Disney Universal experience. There's you know, if you're a roller coaster fan, there's great parks like Cedar Point in outside of Cleveland, Ohio, Six Flags Magic Mountain outside of Los Angeles. But if you're looking for something that's a little bit more of a themed experience, maybe something like one of the Busch Gardens theme parks in Williamsburg or Tampa, Florida might be more what your family is looking for. So it's really a matter of getting familiar with what's available in the market and then pricing those options to see what fits your family's style and budget.
And if you do decide to do it, I assume the sort of insidery rules of don't buy stuff inside that you can get outside.
Right.
How does that work?
One of my big pieces of advice is obviously buy your tickets in advance so that you're not making a last-minute decision at the gate. But also don't buy anything inside the park that you can get outside of the park. If you're looking for a particular souvenir, you might be able to shop around online and find it for cheaper than you will inside the park where you're paying a premium.
Good luck explaining that to a six-year-old.
Well, that's the thing. Actually, one of the things that really works for me is make your child spend their own money. I mean, get them to do chores in advance, give them an allowance, however you want to do it. But start talking up the vacation in advance and say, hey, you want to save your money for anything that you want to buy in the park. We did this with our kids, and it was amazing to see them transform into these eagle-eyed consumer advocates inside the park, pricing everything going around and deciding how they were. I think it was the most valuable lesson we ever taught them about money. And it was a theme park visit that inspired us to do it.
Stepping back for a second, when we think about the middle class and the way you phrase this, some of the big companies going for upscale consumers, mm-hmm. where does the business go in the next decade? Does it fracture? Does it become, you know, a strange outpost of inequality?
Yeah, if you look at what's happened to the hotel business and the countless number of brands and infinite price points that we have with that, I think the same thing is really happening in the theme park business. I mean, it's not just about the ticket. It's there's the ticket, there's the on-site hotel or off-site hotel. Do you want something that includes transportation from the airport or not? They've got all of these upcharge experiences that you can get. You can go to this thing called the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique inside of a Disney theme park where they will make up your daughter to look like a princess. They've got after-hours Halloween parties,
wow.
special fireworks viewing parties with dessert. All of these things are upcharges that fragment the market and provide them many more price points to try and get as much money out of the market as a park can. So I think that's the direction we're heading with this. It's not just the one price-fits-all strategy that you might have seen in the past. It's really becoming more about a mix and match of various options to find something that matches a price point you're comfortable with and gives you the level of service that you can afford.
Before I let you go, I'm just curious, how many theme parks do you think you hit in a summer?
Ooh, in a single summer, at least a dozen, I would say. Usually I throw in some type of road trip across the country in addition to my visits to the big capitals in Orlando and Anaheim. But I think the past 12 months or so, I've been ahead of my average. So I think I've probably done close to 20.
Wow. Robert Niles, editor of ThemeParkInsider.com. Thank you.
Thank you.